What is up, guys? WallJ here, and I'm here with my co-host.
Heart of War. Cross table, got Matadora Roja, a.k.a. Sherry Arnold. Got your a.k.a. in there. What's up, baby? Across the boards there, we got producer Chris. How you doing, producer Chris?
I'm good.
Outstanding. You got your cup of coffee?
Got my cup of coffee and my Disney mug.
Disney mug? You went camping this other weekend.
Camping.
Speaking of which.
Quotes, camping.
No, speaking of which.
I was like, you're in Disney World. He's like, it's Wild Kingdom. It's camping.
I'm like, Fort Wilderness. Fort
with Wilderness. The animals.
Yeah. Believe it or not, there was a, it was funny. We're driving around it with the golf cart.
Fucking cheater.
And there was a whole flock of turkeys on the side of the road. And Tyler just didn't know what turkeys were. And he was like, oh, look at all the birds. And I'm like, those are turkeys. There was like 20 of them. But I did my good, we did, as a family, we did our good deed for the month down there.
Gobble, gobble.
So yeah. we were driving around. One of the things that we do in downtime at the campground is there's a ton of Pokemon stops and gyms and all like that throughout the park.
They still play that?
Oh, yes. Yes. Me and Amanda check in every day, get the stuff. So, because at any point, Tyler may be like, I want to play Pokemon. Let me play your Pokemon. And if you haven't been keeping up with stuff, then he chastises you because you've been sucking. Because
you suck as a parent. Yeah.
So anyway, so we're driving around the campgrounds. We're catching the stops and we're doing shit like that. And we happen to notice this little boy. It's on a little push scooter. And he looks completely out of place. Kind of looking around, checking shit out. We're like, bro, you all right? You good? And dude's lost. Now, if you've ever been to Fort Wilderness, it is fucking huge.
Now, is there cheetahs out there? I can snatch a kiddo up?
No, but there, I mean, it is wildlife. There are bears. There are deer.
In the woods?
Yeah. I mean, you're in the woods. Gators, because it is Disney. You know, they do have that problem.
Well, didn't a kid get snatched up like...
Yeah, last year.
I thought it was like 2 years ago.
It may have been two, but I swore it was last year. Too long ago, but yeah.
Maybe we talked about it.
I don't think we did.
Yeah, no, I think we did.
I guess so we did. Like, I was like, what the hell are parents like letting kids? It says don't swim in water. Like, oh, it's wading. It's different. I'm like, you're stupid.
It does now. But Fort Wilderness is huge. And dude was lost. So got him come over to the golf cart. Got it, you know your phone number.
He's talking to strangers.
Well, we're like, are you lost? Do you need help? And he's like, yes, I don't know where my campground is. And we're like, all right.
He talked to you like that?
How old is he?
He was probably 6 or 7.
He's like, yeah, I don't know where my campground
well,
is.
Well, he was like real timid. He was just like, I'm lost. I don't know where my campground is. And we're like, cool. Wow. Come over. You know, do you know your mom's phone number? So he knew the number. He didn't know the area code. So then we had to look, where are you from? Luckily, he knew what city he was from. So I was able to look up the area code. Called his mom. No answer. And I was like, well, do you know what camp area you're in? Because each one of the camp areas has a name. Like, we're in Jackrabbits and this, that, and the other. And he was like, yeah, we're in Big Bear kind of thing. I was like, cool. So I had to pull up our Google Maps and I found that. I'm like, all right, we're this way. Put your scooter on here. Jump in the golf cart. Yeah, this is my son, Tyler. And this is my wife. You know, to introduce them to everybody. Come on, we'll take you to your campsite.
Come here, little boy.
So we took him all the way down to his campsite, dropped him off, and he goes running up there and it's not his campsite.
Oh, shit.
So Amanda's like, follow him, please. I was like, yeah, no, I got this. We're going to do this. So he goes, he checks another campsite, and it is this campsite. His little sister, but nobody's there. And his little sister shows up, and then his mom shows up, luckily. Well, his dad's already left looking for him. I don't know how long he'd been gone, but he'd been gone to the point to where dad had already gotten the truck and was driving around fucking Fort Wilderness. So
how big is this place?
What's the conclusion?
Well, the conclusion was we got his mom. His mom showed up. A little freaked out.
Well, after seeing you, of course.
I mean, giant white guy, tattooed, shaved head.
Probably skinhead for sure.
Yeah, flying the rebel flag out the back of my golf cart, you know.
You're like, the South lives.
Yeah.
What?
So his mom was, you know, she was like, thank you for bringing him back, da-da-da. And then later, I don't know, about 2 hours later, I get a text message from her number just saying, hey.
New number, who this?
Well, she was like, hey, again, I just wanted to tell you thank you so much for, you know, helping and getting our son back to the campground. You know, can't thank you enough. You know, you don't know like, what this means.
You could. With money.
Nah, they were probably already like us like, strapped because you're paying pretty penny to be down there.
Yeah.
How do you know? Maybe they were loaded.
I don't know. Their camper one is as nice as
mine. Oh, He's camper shaming now.
Oh, camper shamer.
Hey, me and Amanda, we were walking one morning.
Camping.
Yeah.
Carrots.
Yeah, we were walking around our little block where we were camping at.
We got the dopest camper out here.
No, no, no. In ours, we were like mid-range.
Yeah.
No, probably lower to mid-range because we had probably 15 of the big RV buses.
Yeah.
And those things start at what this house costs for those things.
That. Yeah. I will show it with my car with the little tent that goes out the back of my.
Well, you got to think there was one that we were looking at. It's a bus with the partitions that expand out. I like that set up. Their pull behind car is a Lexus. So it's like.
So it's a Toyota?
No.
It's a fancy.
It's a fancy Toyota.
Yeah.
It's a much more expensive Toyota. Yeah. But it's like, I mean, Amanda, we're joking. We're like, you know, how much money is just in this block in campers? I mean, it's probably $4 million in campers.
Ooh. Money, money, money.
I'm so impressed.
Nah. Different world than I live in, bro.
Hey, it was a lot of fun, dude. We spent 5 days down there. We went to Disney. We went to.
Again.
Yeah, we actually. Again.
Don't they have a bring a friend thing?
I think they do have something.
I'm a
like
friend.
That. Yes, you are. But see, we have to use our bring a friend. We got to get Art down there. I got to get Art down there so he can get a picture with Mickey.
I want to go.
Bro,
to
they're
the
like,
Pandora.
Yo, this is the happiest place on earth. I was like, I don't know.
Hey, he can take. I know a guy named Mickey. Quintal de huevos.
La la la.
Only my Spanish people got that joke.
Do I need to get huevos? Oh, I forgot to tell you. Wallow got chastised by his mom today for talking to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn right. That'll teach you to talk to me like that.
So check it out. So Wallow's on his phone talking to his mom in Spanish, and then Chris pulls out his phone, puts on Google Translate.
Well, he was talking too.
Well, he was.
He's like, hey, speak up. My Google Translate can't
loud and crisp.
He's like, fuck you, motherfuckers.
Yeah. So that's what he tells you. Like, fuck you, motherfucker.
No. I said, shut the fuck up. I'm on the phone.
Yeah. So then you hear his mom, I'm assuming, I don't speak Spanish, but then she starts getting onto him, like, don't you talk to him like that. That's not how you talk to people. He's like, yes, mama. I was like, yeah, like, I love your mama.
I said, I'm sorry, mama. This is how I talk to this motherfucker.
He's like, mom, you don't know this fucko like I do.
You don't know this white fucko guy. You don't know him. He rests with a rebel flag.
Damn right.
Dukes a handsome looking motherfucker.
Damn right.
Yeah, they took that show off because of a rebel flag.
No, they didn't. Man. Well, they it's back on, but now they have digitally removed the Confederate flag from the General Lee.
What?
Yeah, you haven't seen it?
And it's rainbows now.
No, it's what not rainbows. It's just nothing.
I'm offended on top.
Yeah. No, they did. There was a couple episodes where they like removed the fucking.
Digitally? How stupid is that?
Yeah.
Someone got paid to do that.
Yes, they did.
Oh, we're just creating jobs.
What? It's part of the show. I mean,
oh man, it's a General Lee, bro. It's just that's what it is.
It's racism.
I mean, I never thought about racism when I watched the show.
Well, it's because I don't know.
No black people in it. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know.
Perhaps.
They were
racist. They're
they
all,
were. They were the white criminals that showed up sometimes
well,
for some
I thought,
of the episodes.
I thought Boss Hogg was black.
I, bro.
I heard that
oh
Boss
my God,
Hogg.
You're making up shit now.
I know.
I heard Boss Hogg was black.
No.
You say he was black.
Who?
Was
old
from
white
the
man.
Waist down.
Boss Hogg, get it? So late.
Sorry, guys.
Well, the next thing lame you know, joke. If they continue, they'll make them like lengthen Daisy's shorts because her shorts
jeans?
Are yeah.
digitally lengthened. Yeah.
Past where her hands reach.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know there's a bunch of pictures of her online, like nude?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From the 70s.
Yeah.
She hot as fuck back then.
Fuck yeah, she was. Big old bush.
Or is someone scanning a Polaroid now?
But that was the thing back then.
Yeah, that was the thing. You know, the whole shape look didn't come around until
like
the 90s.
Pick it out.
Some of them did. It definitely looked like it. Either that or they fucking shampooed and conditioned that shit.
They had a hombre.
Put some volumizer in it.
Looked like they had a midget in between their legs.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. But see, the bad thing is then there were some, you know, because I remember looking at old porn mags when I was a kid. And there was some where like, they like didn't take care of that shit. So, you know, the ones that had the furry, it was all right if it was trimmed up and it's kind of neat. But then you had the ones where they like started going down their legs. And shit
down
like
the inside of the legs.
Yeah, I was like, whoa.
Not while I'm eating.
Yeah, no. You're not.
It's just so crazy, bro.
I'm going to pass on that.
So crazy.
Yeah. I'm definitely not munching on that. Being like.
Chris. I'm definitely not munching on that. Okay, buddy.
Hashtag me neither.
Look, do you like hair in your food? No.
Hashtag not it.
Oh, I'm sorry. You call that food?
Of course.
Nutritious?
Hell yeah.
Is it because of the
yeast? If you do it right, it is.
It's like beer.
Oh.
Is it sushi?
Did you guys see that?
Not if it's good.
There's a beer made out of.
Yeah, I'm not playing that.
What?
Yeah.
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 No.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm allergic to that too.
There was there's been that post. I'm part of a fermenting page on Facebook for some of the stuff we do. But somebody posted that article about they're using woman's yeast for beer. And I'm like,
I'm gonna pass.
I ain't even remotely interested in that.
Me neither.
I don't even want to fucking try it to be able to say I tried it. It's just like, I'm good. Really.
You know how right before you puke, like your jaw starts tingling?
Mm-hmm. Your mouth starts watering.
I'm not there.
Yeah, start getting the world saliva. Starts
spinning.
I believe those are called the mouth sweat.
Yeah.
The mouth sweats?
Oh, ew. Yeah.
It sounds so gross when you say it like that.
Bro, you're that's what really is happening. You're hugging the bowl.
Yeah.
And you feel like your mouth is sweating, and all of a sudden, all this puke just comes out. And,
well, you know why, right?
And you get a great ab workout.
Secretion so that it's
it's secretion so it protects your mouth from the acid that comes up.
Oh. Is that what's up?
Mm-hmm. That's why your teeth feel clean after you puke.
Yeah. That's why they feel clean.
Yeah. So that way, it's a protection. Acid. So that way, it doesn't
damn.
That's why damage bulimics your mouth. Have so many issues with their throats and esophagus. Ooh.
Because
their teeth.
Bulimics
make each other puke.
Yeah. Because if you make yourself puke, then you're not producing the saliva.
Nope. It's too fast.
Yeah, it's too fast. Your body didn't have a chance to get all the warning signs and get shit pumping
warning,
and going.
Warning.
So when you like basically put your fingers down your throat, it doesn't give...
you're not producing any saliva before you vomit.
Word.
Now, it is one of those things where like if... Because I hate that fucking feeling. That's like one of the when you know
that
when
like
you
if
know
I just
coming.
Puke right now, it's gonna be good, but it's gonna be so miserable.
Yeah, because I'm a violent one. Like I'm the dude that's like straight leg standing up above the bowl. I mean, I am getting it all out from the go.
Yeah, you know the last major puke session I had is I remember was
you were drunk.
I was drunk. I was down in St. Pete with my boy Logan and Serena and her boyfriend, and we were like driving in her boyfriend's car. He came to pick us up from one of the bars. I was like, bro, I'm not feeling good. And he was actually in the seat next to me, and Serena was driving. And then, like, we got out, and I started puking all over his car, all next to his car. And he seen me puke, and he started puking. And then I felt so bad.
I would have given you a fucking bus pass.
Puked all over his car. But this is it. This is it. I was like, guys, I was like, don't drive, because what they're doing is they're driving real fast, and they're stopping really quick. On each light. I was like, guys, I can't hold it. I can't hold it. Like, no, you hold it. I'm like, no, I can't hold it. I'm like, let me out.
Once it starts triggered, it's done.
Yeah, once you get that feeling, and you're just like, oh, it's not a matter of if, it's just when. When is this happening?
Yeah, I was like, it's going to happen right now. As I pull over.
Yep.
And they kept like, no, hold on. We got two more blocks. I was like, no. I got a quarter of a block.
That two blocks, it feels like 2 hours. It's like, nah, it ain't happening.
When it's like you got stomach flu or something and you're trying to fight it, and you're like, I don't want to puke. But then you go look at the toilet and you're like, okay, let's do this.
Yeah, that's the thing. It seems to be the trigger where I'm feeling uneasy. I'll just go ahead and go to the bathroom. And then as soon as I'm starting looking at the toilet, I can just feel, I'm like, all right, it's coming. There's no reason to go
like
anywhere.
It's like a trigger.
Yep.
Trigger.
Welcome to Toilet Talk.
Dude, I hate it.
Like, this is why I clean my shit. Clean my toilet. I'm just kidding.
I hate it. The last time for me, it was food poisoning.
Oh, that was horrible. Yeah. I remember having food poisoning and like puking in the toilet and like, you know, oh, the other side was not so good either.
Yeah.
So it was like ass end was in the shower, the other one's in the toilet. Yeah.
That's when you go and find that 5 gallon bucket so you could just place your ass in the toilet and puke in the bucket.
Yes. It's funny what liquor does to your body.
Terrible, bro. Terrible.
And then what's even worse is then if you get real fucked up on a liquor and get like real sick.
You can't drink it again.
All you got to do is sniff that shit. Oh, bro.
That happened to me.
It's a wine symbol.
I went to California back in 2004. And, dude, we were partying from the 9 days that we were out there. I got drunk 7 on those days.
The other 2 days are yayo days.
Yeah.
Getting doing, back up. You
doing
know what
doing
I mean?
Lines of a hooker's asses and all that stuff. But
Jesus Christ.
Anyway, I come back and I was drinking, you know, basically Crown and Coke pretty much
Woo.
All the time.
That's in Crown and Coke
That's a good drink. It's an easy drink to just keep downing and get fucked up quick.
To this day, I cannot smell Crown.
Really?
Oh, it upsets my stomach like this.
See, I'm Mad Dog 2020.
It makes me gag. You're like, whoa!
Dude, if I smell fucking Mad Dog 2020.
What is Mad Dog 2020?
It's a cheap fucking gut rot malt liquor.
It's like back in the day when we were kids, like people get Mad Dog. It tastes like candy.
Yeah. I mean, it's super sweet, but it's alcohol. It was like one of the first things we got from the fucking Jiffy store back in the day.
I was trying to think. I was like, why do they call it Mad Dog, bro? It's like, that's a chick drink. It really is.
That's like Boone's Farm. It's just like back Boone's in the day. Farm,
yeah.
But you drink three pretty bottles much of fucking Mad Dog 2020 when you're 17 years old.
Mad Dog 2020 sounds like it's a gangster drink, bro, but it's not.
But it's not.
It's a chick drink. It's not. For sure.
It's you know, grape and fruity kind of flavors, but it's like very syrupy. It's bad. It's just fucking bad. And yeah, three bottles in, all three bottles came back out. Ugh. And it was so, it was so much. I was like through the nose kind of, it was bad. Now I see that shit at the store. I'm like, I got to fucking go. Get that out of here. Gots to go.
You puke so violently that you get an ab workout.
Oh yeah, dude, that's kind of one of the things, like you get sick for a couple days, you vomit for a day and all like that, then you're like, man, I'm already like halfway to a good workout. I might as well start working out now.
I was like 7 months pregnant with Jake and I got the stomach flu that we went through, my daughter and my ex, and we were all just sharing on the toilet puking, and I literally thought I was going to give birth through my mouth. Like it was, I was like holding my stomach like, don't come up that way.
Birth through your mouth.
Yeah. It was intense.
So speaking of flat stomach, so like intermittent fasting and stress, that'll like knock down a lot of weight.
I know, you're like down to 165, we heard.
Nah, I'm like down.
Coming to my level.
You know, I'm training like 6-7 days a week and yeah, doing the intermittent fasting too, man. You know, I'm down.
We are against you intermittent fasting.
181, 182.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Until you get the hangry stuff under control and you can control that.
Have I been hangry?
We've dealt with you after you've eaten.
So Brandon wants us to talk about the fights. We'll get to it, bro.
Yeah, we'll get there, bro. We're just starting.
We're just waking up.
Yeah, don't kill our flow, bro.
We're just waking up. We got to talk about, you know, actually.
We haven't seen each other in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. What the fuck?
Bro? AKA, let us do our thing.
AKA, yeah. No, I'm just kidding. So I actually got a text message from a guy named Andrew O'Brien, super cool dude. All
right, and what did
actually,
he say?
He's actually kind of new to jiu-jitsu. But
dear Art. No?
I was waiting for kind you to finish. No, he has some questions, though.
Shoot.
Yeah.
What's the question?
Well, it's like one of six, but we'll kind of like put our ideas on it together, and then I'll do my take. And the first question is...
Hold on. Are you going to read them all out, and then are you going to do one at a time?
Yeah, we'll just go one at a time.
Okay.
All right, cool.
And so the first thing is that he was talking about is, you know, when you start jiu-jitsu, everybody says, you know, have no egos, leave that at the door.
Right. Yes.
And I have a different kind of take on the leaving the ego at the door thing than probably most people. I think saying not to have an ego is when you do jiu-jitsu is a lie. It's probably one of the biggest lies, you know, leave the ego at the door. It's like, well, if you leave your ego at the door, you'll never really push yourself as hard as you can to improve.
No, you'll be passive.
Yeah, you'll be too passive. But
healthy ego.
Keep your ego in check.
Keeping an ego in check, having a healthy ego, I think, is the key. And I talk about this all the time, actually, you know, in class. But if you have a healthy ego, it'll push you. But if you get tapped, you know, just know that there's levels and, you know, that, you know, getting tapped is normal. And anybody can tap anybody. And my main thing is, like, I had this
I know, Michelle almost broke my arm the other day.
Yeah, Michelle almost caught a couple people, actually.
Good job, Michelle.
I was like, fuck. Okay, I'll tap.
Yeah, so you got to do that. So I had this Canadian Air Force guy coming and training with me for, like, the last 2.5 weeks. And one of the things I said to him at the end, I talked to him about the ego. But I also talked to him about like tapping and not tapping and how everybody can be tapped. So that's why I said each human that you go against is going to have a head, two arms, two legs for the most part. You know what I mean? Some might be missing some. You know what I mean? And you can tap anybody. It doesn't matter how good they are. You know, you just treat them like you would anything. Do your technique, trust in your technique, and you can possibly win for real. And on the other side of the spectrum, for the person that gets tapped is not to lose your cool, man. You know, you've been training for 10 years, but you get tapped by a guy you only trained for like a year. Don't be mad at that. He used that tech and caught you. You know what I mean? Just be like, ah, that was really good. Move on from there. Learn, hey, when this certain setup happens again, I don't do that. So that goes back to your ego, keeping your ego in check. Not to get mad if somebody beats you that you don't think should beat you. Also, when you go out into town, you know what I mean? Like if somebody's like confronting you, you having a healthy ego is going to help you kind of like de-escalate that situation. Because you don't have to prove yourself to your friends, to that person that who's you're having a conflict with, that you're the bigger, better man, stronger, whatever. More tech, whatever you want to say, you're able to just kind of like say, hey, you know, it's not worth it, and just kind of walk away, and it's totally okay, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, conflict is avoided, you know, laws, the dealing with the laws avoided, you know, possible injury that's avoided. I mean, it's all positives from there, but that all comes from having a strong, healthy ego. You know, if you leave the ego, like I said, you'll never grow. You gotta push yourself. You know, you got to have a certain amount of drive, and that's part of that's from your ego.
I've heard Joe Rogan talk in the past and saying that guys that train are not very likely to get into a fight because they know what they can do or what can happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, if somebody comes at them, you know, they're like, they're going to try to de-escalate the situation first. So, yeah, to me, that makes absolute sense. But I also seen you guys where they're commenting, you're like, oh, what a pussy. I would have kicked his ass. I'm like, okay, well.
You're the guy who has the peacock because you don't know where you stand. You have to prove yourself.
Yeah.
So that's definitely the difference. And, you know, as far as like, what was the thing you said, Joe Rogan said?
That most guys that train are going to try to de-escalate the situation before they get into an actual fight.
So on top of that, so people are like, oh, you do jiu-jitsu or you teach this. So you're all like, it's like actually much the opposite. You
right.
Know, when I was in a different sport, like bodybuilding and powerlifting, I was more of that. You know, I had to prove myself I'm bigger, better, stronger, whatever. You know, I show you my dominance.
Let me show you my biceps.
And at that time, you know, I didn't know. I didn't have a healthy ego. I didn't know where I was.
Is that maybe why Nick didn't like you when he first saw you?
No, actually, I was always nice to Nick, but he definitely judged me. You know, he's like, oh, this meathead coming in the door. You know what I mean? He's probably going to be a douche. And it's
I judged the shit out of Nick the first time I met Nick. So
yeah.
Was he headbutting people out of bar?
No, he was. Okay. I think I said it before. He was actually critiquing a friend of mine's work.
Yeah.
And he was being real rough about it when he left. I was like, who the fuck was that asshole? And now he's like,
one of your best friends.
Yeah, one of my best fucking friends in the world.
Okay. So we'll move on to that second question. He's like, okay. So how do you recommend a coach player deal with an unbalanced ego, i.e., overinflated or underdeveloped?
Ooh, that's kind of tough, man.
That is kind of tough. I think it's a case-by-case basis for sure.
I've dealt with people like that, and I steer away from them.
Well, when it comes to like an overinflated ego, sometimes you have to check that person.
Well,
humble them a little bit.
The way that I basically, you know, handled it was I was slightly better.
Yeah.
So what I would do is I would talk to people while I was rolling with them.
Yeah.
Because I had no respect for them. Because of the way that he carried himself, you know, and you know, normally when you roll with somebody, you're focused on what you're doing.
Yeah, you're right there in the moment.
I was basically being a dick back because you really, you know, you don't do that.
So that's from a player to player perspective, from like a coach or someone who owns a gym perspective. When you roll with them, like typically, if someone's like being really really rough and their ego is really really bad and they're kind of like hurting other players.
I remember
right?
a scenario.
Yeah. So, yeah. And you can talk about that after I'll finish this. You tell that story. But what I typically do is I'll roll with them and I'll kind of stunt on them a little bit, not hurt them, but I'll just show them exactly where they're at. And then I'll have a conversation with them afterwards. Say, hey, listen, you know, this is how you're being perceived.
That's why
I'm getting
stunted all the damn time.
This is how people are feeling. And this is what needs to be checked. You know, you need to check yourself and like realize what is going to help you grow, what's going to help your teammates be better, what's going to help, you know, what's going to be the most positive way to handle this. And I kind of go off on that. The underdeveloped side of it is if somebody who's like very self-conscious, who's not very confident in themselves, you know what I mean? You start working with them. I personally will work with them, or I have another coach or another player that I know who's trustworthy, work with them. And as they roll, kind of help build their confidence and their techniques, you know, maybe put themselves in certain positions and like coach them through that. And as they feel confident with the technique, their ego will kind of rise up to the nice buoyant level that it needs to be.
Now you think that's ego or confidence?
A little bit. If your ego gets damaged, your confidence goes down.
Right.
So they coincide, I believe. Now back to your story.
No, I was just remembering there was that guy that came in, Marine type guy, and all like huffy puffy.
Oh, yeah, after you could tell his session,
yeah. ego was oh, just on fire.
You're talking about the guy that Art beat up.
Yep, and Art just kind of was like, "All right," so they rolled, and Art was just super cool and collected, and the guy kind of like goes after him and like boom, like pushes him kind of thing, and then they just go at it, and watching Art just kind of like
dismantle his whole
face and expression shifted, and it just went down from there for that guy.
Well, I've been in those situations too where somebody's overly aggressive, and I just let him work until I see that they're a little bit winded, and that's when I go on the attack.
Yeah, and so I remember that case specifically, and he's actually a really nice guy. You know, he just didn't know any better.
I think it was just ego. I mean,
it was most definitely ego. He was young, and he's big, and he's very strong.
And his girlfriend was there. And
his girlfriend was there, so he didn't like to be, you know. So typically what happens is, like, when I roll with new people, you know, I'm going to start down, you know, on the ground already, and I'm just kind of, like, chill and flowy with it. And he was, like, super, super aggro. So I was like, all right, when that happens, you know, I stand up and we work the whole takedown portions. I typically don't like doing that for newer guys just because they don't know how to fall properly, and they could possibly hurt themselves. So, I mean, I try to take away as much possible risk of damage for them as possible, but I have to also protect myself too. So when that guy was coming after me really, really hard and you just kept, stone face, you know, you give him no emotion, and that plays a psychological factor on your opponent. You know, if they're hitting you with as hard as, you know, I mean, he was even throwing punches, you know, to the body and stuff. You know what I mean? Hitting me as hard as he could and doing the things that he could. You know, I just, you know, deflected and then just wore him out. Just wore him out, took him down, you know, finished him a couple times. Neon belly.
Dance around on the knee.
Little stun on him real quick, you know. But afterwards, I talked to him. I was like, hey, listen. You know, you see all that energy you're spending, see how tired you are.
Wasted that energy.
And where did it get you? You know what I mean? And then the results are the same. I was like, we need to calm you down. Let's get you where you need to be, work on your tech. And you know, he did end up getting better before he had to leave. But, you know, and that's typical. And generally it's with the younger males that feel like they have to kind of like prove themselves. And being a young Marine, you know, they're taught to kill.
It's fucking aggression. 110%.
Yeah, especially in their version of martial arts that they do with the mid-map version, you know.
Because I know anytime, like, if we're rolling or something like that, you know, Art's over there on the side, he's rolling, he's normally on his butt or on his knees, and then all of a sudden you see Art stand up, everybody's like, shit. Let's go ahead. Hey, can we pause this real quick? I'll stay in your guard, but let's just pause this real quick.
Turn around and
watch this because.
Oh yeah, I think you were there at that time too.
Yeah, I was. I was like, just watch because somebody's going to go for a ride.
All of us kind of stopped and we all watched. Did.
Yeah, I was like, watch this.
I was ready.
It's going to be fun.
I stopped because I didn't know what was going to happen. I thought that maybe his buddies were going to jump in.
That dude was getting super aggro.
And
he was pretty aggressive.
Because you know, once a friend is in, you know, trouble, you come in with a flying drop kick.
Well, especially if you're like new to the gym, you don't really know what's going on. You see your buddy who's, you know, you're a Marine with, that's your battle buddy, and he's over there getting fucked up just constantly. It's just going to irritate you. So
shout out to all the Marines in the area.
Yeah, for sure. Because
nothing but love.
All the Marines that have come through the school, love them. You know, the first night's always kind of a little awkward. It takes them a couple nights to kind of, you know, everybody knows where they're at in the gym. You know your pecking order. So once that pecking order's kind of reestablished, most of the time, I've yet to come across one that we've had in our gym that was an asshole.
Well, I think that's one of the most important parts, too, is that after a situation like that, is that you have a debrief of them. You know what I mean? You talk to them. Hey, this is what's acceptable. What's not acceptable. This is why you failed at this certain things. This is how we're going to get you better. So not just berate them and be like, you can't be so aggressive. No, you're going to hurt somebody, you know, but explain to them, you know, what the pros and cons are and how to improve and give them a good steady guide on to getting better. Cause that's my goal as a coach or my goal as an instructor or just a human period is if someone asks me, I was like, hey man, let's try to do something constructive. And not tear somebody down. The second you start tearing people down, man, you know, you look bad. Either. Not only do they not want to look, I mean, this is all facets of life. The second you start tearing other people down, it doesn't make you look good. I promise you it doesn't. It makes you look bad. So as soon as you can start like trying to figure out solutions, positive solutions, not negative solutions, you know, everybody wins. You know, second you start doing the negative thing, da da da, you know, people call it karma, people call it, you know, you know, God or the energies of the universe, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter. But it does come back to you. And you have to be, you know, so just try to put out as much positivity as possible.
Let me ask you a question before we move on to the next question.
Yeah.
Have you ever received a complaint about me?
About you?
About me being too aggressive or?
No.
Okay, cool.
No.
No, you're like a
oh boy, wait till you come back. Poly. I'm changing you, like, that up.
Roll up. Well, then you open.
Hey, guys, listen to this.
You can breathe.
My man
can breathe.
Breathe.
He can breathe. It's going to be more dangerous now. I got to be careful.
Now, the one thing I'll say is one of the rules to live.
White powdered.
One of the rules to live by is take care of your training partner. Don't be that guy.
Yeah.
Don't be that guy that fucking beats up your training partner, even in drills and stuff like that.
If you injure them, they don't want to come. They don't want to come train with you. They might get hurt. They might not come back. And it's just.
Well, not only
sucks
that,
for everybody.
If you become that guy that's always like fucking gooning your training partner all the time and just
it
being
sucks.
A douche. Guess what? I'm not going to fucking drill with you.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, hey, guess what? You can go over there and drill against the fucking wall.
As someone who's constantly injured and constantly dealing with stupid injuries.
Yeah, just nagging.
It's
yeah.
Frustrating as fuck when I can't go and train. And then my training partners get smaller and smaller, like my options. And it's like, why do I even go? Because I just sit there and watch, and that's not fun either.
Well, that's why every time I've rolled with you, I've never went hard. I just keep you in my guard and just try to...
But yeah, right now, like coming off of that, both of those surgeries, the antibiotics, all of that, my body is super fucked. Like everything's super loose and popping in and out. And
it's horrible.
It's, I don't know how it's going to be. I haven't rolled with you probably about a year now.
You know, what'll probably fix that, right? What? Some gluten. It'll help tighten up them joints.
So
gluten and some milk. You bone that together.
If you don't know, Sherry has celiac disease. So
I'm an asshole, and I fuck with her pretty constantly about
her food issues.
All just because of that one time I ate her a little bit of her pizza.
Oh yeah,
McDojo life in the house. What's up, McDojo?
What's up, Bruda? All right, so check it out. We're going to go to the next question. What's your advice on players to prevent them from becoming frustrated and quitting? This is the deal, man. And this
understand
is with,
it's a journey.
Like, yeah, that's for sure.
Everybody wants to be good right away.
Yes, that's another thing. The biggest thing is like, hey, man, take small bites. Just take them more frequently. You don't have to like try to consume as much as you can and get better just right then. The biggest thing is just like realize it's a process and that 6 months from now, you'd be like, you're going to be at a whole different level. And then 6 months from then, you're going to look back and be like, oh my God, I didn't know anything. 6 months, before you know, 10 years go by and you're like, I'm a black belt. Do I still know any? I don't know anything. Even though you know a lot, but you're just like, I still have so much to learn, you know? And,
McDojo Live says, tell them to stop being soft as baby crap.
Soft as baby crap. You know, there's two different ways of coaching, right? There's that 1%, 2% where you give them that tough love, like, oh yeah, stop being soft. You got to be hard. You got
to. If you get to hear, you fucked up.
Yeah, and there's a very small percentage of people that react positively to that, like, and that motivates them. The other ones just need encouragement. Hey, listen, you're doing well for where you need to be. You're right on plan, or this is where you need to improve to get you back on track, or you're doing better than average. Keep that up. People just need reassurance. The majority of the time, they just need a little affirmation that they're doing the right thing. So if that armbar is off, like, yeah, you got that armbar, but it's not going to work on somebody with this certain amount of skill. So you need to tighten this up. And with that, you know what I mean? They're going to get better. You know what I mean? But if they keep failing, I'm looking at them and I'm like, this is where the big mistake is happening. And I'm telling you, and you're kind of failing. I'm like, you know what? Don't even worry about this complicated armbar setup. Let's work on another setup that's going to be more towards your game. Maybe it's your size or the way you move, or it could be something. You know, it's just that particular technique is not necessarily your game. So let's build you out a game that's for you. Granted, you got to know all these techniques. You know what I mean? You have to know all these techniques. But when it comes to your individual game and what makes you better or what will make you successful, you know, sometimes you got to modify these things. When I do private lessons with people, I don't give them cookie cutter techniques.
What do you want to learn?
I look at them. I see how they move through their roles when I've worked with them before. I say, hey, listen, this is what you kind of gravitate towards. This is kind of the things that you really need to work on. And let's build a private lesson plan throughout however many times that you need it, to fix these different holes, and let's tighten you up. And I haven't had one person who's taken private lessons for me that hasn't improved dramatically, because it's individually
tailored to their needs.
That's exactly the words I was looking for.
Well, I mean, because that's what he did with me when I first started. It was like, look, you're not in a position where you can do this, this, and this. So we're going to work on tactical stand-ups. You can work on getting those down. Then once your body's good for those, guess what? I'm a big guy. I'm not going to be playing a lot of inverted shit and things like that. Let's not worry about those things. Let's move to this. This is going to be more your style. This is going to be more your body type. What's going to work for you?
Yeah.
The other thing I do is literally, like, whenever we, you know, we have our positional roles that we do after the end of class, and then we have our open roles. And a lot of times for me, what I'll do is when it's open role time, I normally try, I've been lacking on this, and I think it's been hurting me in my open roles somewhat, but normally I will pick something. And it's not really always an attack. It's most, 99% of the time for me, it's just defense, survive.
Try to get to a certain position.
Control.
Or, yeah,
control, you know, yeah. get pass or guard, you know, and just get inside control. Just work on, pick something, work on that. Because if you're trying to work on everything in that one role all at the same time, nothing's going to fucking work.
Yeah. And that's,
you're going to overload your brain.
Yep, exactly.
And then you're going to sit there, and I've done it so many times where you get stuck in a spot and you're like, I don't know where to go now, because I'm thinking of 1,000 things that I should be, you know, that I would be thinking about if I'm a good jiu-jitsu player. No, man, just fucking work on this, you know.
And as you learn how to chain these specific moves together, you know, you will be a couple steps ahead of the average person.
Yeah, because my biggest thing is I stall.
1 sec at a time. Yeah.
That was something that I kept hearing when I was, when I started. And the two people that kept talking about chaining were James Buttner and Dean's brother, David Grant. Hmm. They were like obsessed with, okay, I get here. If I don't get this, I'm going to move to this.
Yeah.
And at one point, I think David had a setup where he had 5 different
options.
And I'm like, how do I couldn't compute that just yet.
I still can't. Like, I'll still get into a position where if the move, I try this, you know, I try to get out of, I try to guard break. It doesn't work. I fuck up because I reset myself, settle back down in the guard, and then start back over again and try to do the same thing. And if it doesn't work again, settle back down and basically restart back at one. Instead of going here, okay, that stalled, and then transitioning to the next thing from there. And it's mainly just because my knowledge is still not there.
You're just trying to find yourself back in the familiar position.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just glad that when I was coming up as a white belt, I had those guys, you know, James Buttner, David Grant, Dean Grant.
Yeah.
You know, fucking Dan Pascal was there, you know, who's a beast as well. Randy Warren.
Even though you give him shit.
I give him shit all the time. Randy's good.
Yeah, no, he seems like a nice guy.
I mean, there were so many good guys. I mean, I took so many beatings. It's not even funny, but he helped me with my defense.
Well, that's the thing. Like we were talking about last night.
Part of that too. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Part of that too is that you took so many beatings, really kind of like tightened up your ego, right? You're like, ooh, well, you're either going to fail or you're not. But when you're taking those beatings, you know, they kind of teach you new things during that time. They're teaching you things about yourself.
Or they demoralize you either way.
Well, you know,
you can look at it that way if you want to. Oh, my God, I'm cramping. Hold on.
You all right?
Oh, didn't drink enough water.
Oh, well, that's because you keep drinking that bang.
Well, that's what I was saying. Bang, like, bang. Like I was saying, you know, I'm getting beat all the time. But then I have to constantly kind of remind myself who I'm going against. I'm going against Wallow. I'm going against Art. I'm going against Bert. Going against Andrew.
Dude, I've never laid a beating on you.
No. But the thing is when I roll with you, I don't get past square one. When I roll with Art, he'll maybe let me get past square one because it's a trap.
I was going to say.
And now I played myself into a position.
Retreat! It's a trap!
Yeah.
It's a trap.
You know, Bert don't give me shit. If I do get anything for Bert, it's because I had to work blood, sweat, tears, and pay for it in a pound of fat. And then I still get fucked and caught and choked. Andrew, I can never tell when Andrew's just letting me fucking play or if he's trying to submit me. But I am constantly beating my head against this wall. But the thing is I know eventually I'm going to put a dent in the wall. It's going to hurt, but that dent is going to be progress.
Bert just said that your jiu-jitsu is better.
Yeah, I know. Everybody keeps saying that from when the day you started, you were a fat piece of shit, and now you're just a fat.
He said also that it's just your double leg that isn't.
Yes, because I led with my head. Thank you, Mr. fucking Guillotine, on that one.
All right, check it out. So we're going to go to the next one here. Okay. So the next question was advice on cauliflower ear.
Drain it.
How about it?
All right.
Drain it.
Well.
Compression.
Is this, you know, that's a legit question. You know what I mean?
Don't be that guy.
So.
Well, is it advice that you have it, you're getting it, or yeah, how advice
do
avoid on it?
How do you deal with it? How do you prevent it? How, if you do have it, what do you do? So officially.
Yeah, I know.
Officially, if you have cauliflower ear, you need to go see a medical professional. Get it taken care of.
Don't do it yourself.
Unofficially. No. How to prevent it. Stop getting caught in triangles.
Just kidding.
Basically, what it is when your ears get roughed up and they're kind of like getting pulled. A lot of times it's from triangles or folded over and roughed up. And, the only time that you're really in danger with a cauliflower ear, other than just aesthetics, is if it goes down into the canal itself. Then it can affect your hearing. So if it's just on the outside, a lot of times, you know, if you know certain people who might know how to do sterile technique and drain these ears and keep it compressed over a certain amount of time, you know, you can recover from that. It's fine. But mostly it's just damage or rubbing of the ear. Like, I've been doing this for like 11 years now and I have very minimal cauliflower ear. Now, I have a couple buddies who just look like they have wadded pieces of gum stuck to the side of their heads, you know, because they get their ears so roughed up and then they don't get it.
My hero is Randy Couture.
You know, Brandon's got really good advice here on the cauliflower ear. Huh. He said, deal with it.
Protect it with your man bun.
So, but officially though, if you get cauliflower ear, go see a medical professional. Although they probably don't always know what they're doing. They'll probably try to cut it and.
Yeah, I've seen. Remember what they did to Captain America? Yeah. He come walking into the gym after they got a hold of it. He's like, what the fuck happened to your ear, bro?
Who was that?
Clay.
Yeah.
Clay who?
Clayton.
Oh, Clayton.
Captain America.
I was like, Clay who?
Yeah,
Clay.
Captain America.
It's been so long.
I know. Well, it burst on him in the middle of the night.
Should he be back soon?
I think so.
I miss him.
I do too. I love him.
Mayhem.
But. It burst on him in the middle of the night, and then it was like bleeding all over his pillow. So then he had to go down to the infirmary, and they like fucking cut it and stuffed it with fucking gauze, and then stitched it together for compression. Uh-huh. So he comes rolling into the gym with two giant blue, basically Tampaxes to his ear. It's like, what the? Even Art, he walks in, and Art's like, why did you let him do that?
I'm trying to tell him.
He looked like a Doberman puppy.
Yeah.
It was so bad. I was like, God damn it.
But it did heal. It did heal pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, it did heal pretty good.
One of my friends, she has cauliflower ear, and she found the best way to put the pressure. Mm-hmm. The best way to put pressure on is get the swimming nose plug.
Oh, yeah, just clip it on the ear.
That's pretty cool. But they got the magnet specifically for cauliflower ear, which actually my buddy Chance, he got those.
She was having some type. It was like, I don't know. She didn't like it or it wasn't fitting right, so she went and got the nose plug. And for her, you know.
She probably had small ears.
You ever seen that?
She's a small girl.
There was a video that was floating around. I want to say it was last year, but whatever. It was one of the schools where part of the promotion was the coach gave you cauliflower ear.
Get the hell out of here, man.
Like, they had the guy on the mat. They were literally just taking the elbow and just fucking raking it across the ear.
Well, you know what people would do, like in wrestling, like college and – they would take the towels and they put it over their head and it go like this, back and forth.
Why?
To get cauliflower ear, because it's like a badge of honor kind of deal. Ugh. It's silly. All right,
if you do get cauliflower ear, you might as well stay doing jiu-jitsu, because you if don't not,
suck
yeah, it, yeah, then you're just a dude that sucks with cauliflower ear.
All right, so the next question: should a player develop technique first or conditioning first? Well,
you can do both.
That's what everybody says, though. That's a cop-out answer.
Okay, I'll break this down.
How is it a cop-out answer?
Well, because everybody says that same thing.
Stop, guys. I'm going to break this down for you. Okay.
Break it down.
So each individual's journey in jiu-jitsu is different. Some want to be high-level competitors. Some just want to do it for fun. Some just want to do it for fitness. So that answer is going to change. If you're just doing it fun, recreational, so forth, just concentrate on the technique, okay? And then start building your conditioning as you get ready for possible competitions in the future. You don't have to have great conditioning to do jiu-jitsu. You don't. Jiu-jitsu is anybody can do this, right? If you are a competitor, you're going to need the conditioning because you're going to need the specific physical attributes plus the technique. You have to have the technique because once your physical attributes fail you, i.e. flexibility, strength, endurance, conditioning, all that kind of stuff, fail you, you need to have good technique to fall back on. And if you have all those things plus good technique, you know, it's going to be advantageous for you. It's going to be for your complete advantage to have both. So for the average player that just comes in and just like learning, bro, you need to know your techniques. For the competitive athlete, you need to know your techniques and you need to be conditioned, period, because you're competing against other people who are dedicating their lives to competition, dedicating their lives to being the best at whatever they're doing at that specific time. So, yeah, you'll need both. I think that's a pretty easy way to answer it, right? Is that a cop-out?
That's a better explanation.
Is that better?
I feel that if you're if you have more conditioning, then it allows you to drill the techniques longer.
Longer, and you get more mat time. Now, like I said, we're talking competitive setting. Sometimes if you have just better conditioning and tougher and so on and so forth, you can get away with sloppier technique. But why not have both? Better technique and that conditioning, and then you're going to go get somebody who has, you know, less technique and good conditioning, or not just the same conditioning as you. You're going to win. See what I'm saying? You're trying to stack as much percentages in favor as possible.
Here's the thing. You know, whether you're competing at a tournament or competing at an open mat, you're still competing.
Yeah.
You're competing every night.
So, yeah, you do want that cardio. You want that endurance.
That will come with it. But what I'm saying is like, just know what you're training for. And then you have to do that. So, like, different levels of conditioning, bro. You know what I mean? Yes, training in open mats and doing those kind of friendly rules and stuff like that, your conditioning is going to be at a certain level above the average person. But that is not going to be the same kind of conditioning you're going to need at high-level tournaments.
I wouldn't know. I'm not Gordon Ryan.
Just saying. That dude's Captain a super Abs. Stud, man. Super stud. Jesus. All right, so there's that. And then the last one, would you ever consider starting a competitive team? Absolutely. Absolutely I would. But difference between me and a lot of people is that, or maybe not even the difference, just my thoughts on it is like, I'm not creating a competition team saying you have to be on this competition team, you have to do this, you have to do that. If I have people with specific goals saying I want to compete, I want to do that, cool. I will create a team with other like-minded people in the school that want to do that thing. But just realize once I create that competitive team, I'm treating you different. I'm not going to be like, oh yeah, only, you know, once, twice a week, that's okay. No, you got to be there 4 days a week. You got to be putting in the work and you got to be pushing hard. And if you're just sitting there talking in class, I'm going to get on you. We're typically, I'm like, hey guys, keep rolling. And I'm like, hey, you're part of the competitive team. You need to set an example for the rest of the people. And of course, I would never do this like out in front of people. I pull them aside, hey, or I whisper in their ear, hey man, part of the competitive team, right? Yeah, okay. I was like, so you need to get as much drilling as possible, show the example to the rest of the thing. I look upon you because this is what you said you want.
Right.
So I'm pushing you to help you reach what you want, not what I want. I would like everybody to compete. Sure, cool. Or I just want everybody to be happy, whether competing or not competing. You know what I mean? So like what you tell me your goals are, I'm going to help you reach that. I just want to come here twice a week and learn some technique and enjoy my social portion of this. And absolutely, man, I want you to have that family, that social nature, enjoy those techniques and learn and feel that you're getting better and do that you are getting better. And then the competitors, hey, bro, I only saw you twice last week.
Well, I spoke to my old coach, Matt, via text.
Lumley?
Lumley, yeah. I want to say about 2-3 weeks ago. And because, man, I miss him, you know. He's such a good guy.
Yeah.
So I sent him a text. Hey, man, just want to let you know. Thinking about you. We're talking about you. Hope that you're doing good. And, you know, and he responded and, you know, we talked a little bit back and forth. Told him, hey, I'm still training, you know, 4 or 5 times a week, you know. And he said, in order for you to maintain, twice a week is good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 3-4 times and above. That's how you're going to improve.
That's improvement. You're absolutely right. I agree with him 100%. And I always say that. It's like 1-2, maintain. 2, maintain, really. 1 is just to not lose at 100%.
Yeah.
But 3, now you're starting to improve. 4+, now you're really improving. Still got to listen to your body. I have a couple students right now, and one of them in particular that asks these questions. You know, he pushes himself really, really hard. He comes very, very consistently. And then days when he's like, I'm kind of sore, I was like, just drill. You just relax. Or hey, I need to take the day off. Perfect. And he lets me know, you know, and I like that. I like them letting me know, hey, I'm not going to make it to class tonight. I'm a little sore. This is what I need to work. But he's not copping out either. He's telling me he would be there if he wasn't sore. Trust.
Yeah.
And I have to tell him sometimes, even like, kind of slow it down a little bit. It's not a race. You know what I mean? You're going to get there. You're still in the first month and a half, 2 months of your journey. So.
Well, before my surgery, you know, I was coming 3-4 times a week.
Yeah, for sure.
And I was enrolling every day. You know, it's just I'm a little bit on the old side. So I can't just roll hard every day. So
no.
I would roll maybe on a Monday or a Tuesday and then not roll at all until Saturday.
Well, you know, this is another thing too that I kind of adjusted the way that I do my classes now too. Before it'd be like hour of instruction, hour of rolling, or strong hard 45 minutes of rolling every day. Now, there's a problem with that. Your body can't take that much damage every day. So I can't expect these guys to be able to train 4 times a week. So let's say I only have them roll for maybe 30 minutes versus an hour. Now I'm getting in there 4 days a week. Now they're getting 2 hours of solids rolling in versus, you know what I mean, of fresh, you know, technique and positional and all that stuff versus them maybe making a day and a half, 2 days at an hour and plus the hour of their bodies aren't able to hold up. I'm able to get them more mat time by chilling out the length, the duration of the heavy rolls. So they're still getting good rolls. They're just able to get it more frequently. So, i.e., they're getting better faster. Like I said, as I've gone through these years of coaching and being coached and going to different schools and seeing what works and what doesn't work, being able to adjust my schedule and kind of pick how I do things for people, I think this is one of the most optimal ways to keep people healthy, for one, two, improving, and three, able to do it more. That's the key, able to do it more.
Guys, I lost 15 pounds and I gained it back.
Yeah, man, that surgery and not doing any work.
Bro, I've been so lazy since
I know, you're going to jump on that Strike Fit. Let's tighten you up, son.
You said, fuck keto.
Yeah, pretty much.
Fuck keto. Praise Kellogg's.
Bro, yeah, I was, Kellogg's. Yeah. I had the farts this morning.
Dude, you were fucking bad. God. He did.
For some reason, I think Milk and I are not
I
can't
getting along.
They've broken up.
Dude, he was crapping his pants.
I get the lactose
morning.
Free.
It was like 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, oh my God, bro, I can't even do.
And I had a cup yesterday, like chocolate milk. And I was like on my bed, like doubled over for like 2 minutes, just like,
He was shitting all over Bert for the first portion of this morning. And then he like switches hips. So then for the second portion, I get it blowing my way now. It's like, damn, bro. Dude,
I thought I was going to die. You know, like before I couldn't smell my own farts. So
I thought you were going to die too.
It was okay. But now it's like, oh my God.
Actually, I was convinced you were dead, bro. I was like, man.
He ate something.
I was like,
dead.
I'm pretty sure he died.
That's what death smells like. That's the smell of a decomposing body. That's what you were releasing.
I'm decomposing from the inside out.
If you've ever smelled decomp, you will always remember that smell.
Hey, do we have any more questions from your student?
From my boy.
Yeah, from Andrew. That's a no.
Because we got some fights.
Yeah, yeah. No, let's talk about fights. That's it. That's it for right there. Actually, what happened is he just messaged me.
Oh, yeah?
He's like, I didn't expect you to answer all the questions.
Hey, man. We care about our fans and our listeners.
Listen, what did I tell you about that word fans?
Sorry.
I don't like it.
I don't like it either. It's why? it's like students trying to call you master.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, guys. Let me talk about this master thing, too, by the way.
Sensei?
No, master. I'm telling you.
Okay, Sensei.
So we were doing a Saturday practice, in an open mat or whatever, in Q&A, kind of going over blue belt curriculum and all that. And this guy walks in, and he's a black dude, and he had a white t-shirt on, had some blood on the front end. I was like, oh, fuck. And he starts kind of like breaking down and crying. He's talking about how he has to get down. He has to get over down the road, and he, you know, gives me a sob story about his girl and how this other dope guy is a bigger baller than him, who beat him up, and he can't do anything. He just left the hospital over at Orange Park, and, you know, he pulls up a shirt and has this big zipper of these staples and how he was in this crazy motorcycle accident and his guts all spilled out. I'm like, fuck, bro. And he's like crying. So I'm like holding this guy's hand and I'm trying to console him. And he's like, man, I just need a ride, man. I just need a ride. I was like, hey, man, here, have a water right now. Let me finish the classes. I'll give you a ride down the road, you know, to get you closer to where you need to be. He's like, all right, man. And then like, we're doing these things right here, right? And he's just talking and so on and so forth. And I'm like, fuck, dude, this guy, oh, I forget where I'm going with the story, but. Felt really bad. And he was like, man, I was like, man, I forgot we're heading up the other direction. You know what I mean? I wasn't getting right. Wallow shoots out. He's like, fuck that, dude. I'm out.
Well, yeah. I had said my goodbyes.
Yeah, I'm in Wallow's camp.
Sorry. And he's starting to talk, and I'm like, I'm not about to listen.
I know, man. So I'm kind of like, damn, bro. You know what I mean?
You're a better man than I am.
I have a heart. You know what I mean? I feel for people. I like projects. Yeah, I guess. Something's wrong with me. I should just fucking cut all that shit out. But
how about pick a project that just hasn't had like open heart fucking surgery or some shit that's bleeding through their shirt?
So
that's not a good project.
I know. And he's like, well, let me get back onto the master thing.
Yeah.
So like I said, he's a black dude, right? And so he's like, all right, master. Da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, whoa. I was like, nah, bro. It's not. He's like, hey, man, I'm in the dojo. And I'm listening to the master. And I was like, whoa, bro. I don't like this connotation at all, dude. He's like, I know I'm black as fuck, man. Nobody wants to give me a ride. I was like, oh, fuck, bro.
He stereotyped himself.
Yeah, I know. And he starts calling me master. And he's saying he's black as fuck. And nobody will give him a ride. And I'm like, I see this big fucking open incision. Or not open, but I mean stapled shut. And I was like, oh, man, my heart was hurting for him. And at the same time, I was like, shut the fuck up. I'm not master. You know what I mean? Don't call me that. It's
and
crazy.
And then you gave him a ride a quarter mile down the road.
I gave him a ride down to the BP gas station because it gets him closer to his bus stop. But
see, I might have been like, your BP gas station's a mile down the road. That way.
I know, man. I just,
that way.
Dude.
Nope, not that way. Turn around.
This is not how.
Listen.
Anyways, as I get in the car, I was like, I'm going to regret the fuck out of this. No good deed ever goes unpunished, which I'm going to find out a whole bunch lately.
Nope.
He starts fucking my rear. Go down 93.3.
Get fucking my rear. Fuck out.
I was like, oh my God. I was like, poof. I was like, here, I drop you out of the dog track. He's like, oh, drop me in that BP. He's like, all right. In the BP, you know, he walks off and sort of asks somebody else to give him a ride. I fucking head back. It's like, thanks for cleaning up the Mac guys, so on and so forth. I was like, that guy was calling me master. Oh, shit.
He'd been watching too many fucking Saturday morning Kung Fu.
Listen, the one and only time I gave somebody a ride, it was 1 o'clock in the morning.
That's a fuck up right
there. Yeah, he gave me a sob story. I was 21, 22.
He gave me a
and he gave me a gummer.
I ended up in Myrtle Avenue.
Ooh, that's not a good area.
Behind some warehouse that I could see the trucks coming in and out.
Mm-hmm. In an alley?
Kind of.
Basically, warehouse district. Yeah.
So there was a house that had no lights. There was a few people up front in the porch.
I've seen this shit in a horror movie.
The guy gets out of the car. He goes to the back.
Did you drive off?
Two guys come running out of the front and running towards the back. I'm like, I'm out.
The hell yeah, I'm out.
Because he wanted me to wait and give him a ride back. And
he was going to buy some fucking cocaine or some
bro,
crack.
I don't know what the fuck happened to that dude, but I'm pretty sure he's dead.
White guy?
Yeah. He was
meth.
White.
Meth.
No, he was black.
Oh. I was going to say, if you drop a white guy off at a house like that, that's meth. Gotta go get that bump.
I don't know what was going on, but I'm like, I'm not sticking around.
That's crazy, bro.
And I couldn't find my way out.
Look, I don't pick people up. I will stop. If you're broke down on the side of the road and you have a vehicle and I can tell that you are rightfully broken down, I will stop. Now, I've helped some people. Sometimes it's backfired on me and I laughed, but nah, if you're like, hey, you come up to me at the gas station or in the fucking parking lot and be like, hey, man, can I get... No, you cannot.
I have this rule ever since. I do not give a ride to anybody I don't know.
No.
If I'm stranded somewhere, I'm going to pick up my phone. I'm going to get an Uber.
Yep.
Bottom line, I'm not going to put you in a situation where, you know, a stranger where they doubt what my intentions are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, smart.
So...
Now, what's crazy, though, is if I was in the country,
I'd probably,
you know,
going to eat a lot of peaches.
If you're walking down the road.
Because that's your people.
Yeah, no, if you're walking down the road, like up in South Carolina or some shit, you're walking down the road.
South Kakalaki.
Yeah, up around where my family had farms and stuff. We're like, hey, where are you going? Because we, you know, most knew all the houses around there. Hey, I'm going over so-and-so. Oh, hop in the back. You're not getting in the cab. No, not getting in the cab. You can hop in the back of the truck. I might pull that. But down here in Jacksonville... Sorry, bro.
Nah.
Ain't doing it.
Ain't doing it either, bro. Sorry,
son. Something's gonna happen, and if shit goes down, you're gonna wind up fucking lead in you, and you might die of lead poisoning. That'd be bad.
Yeah. So yeah, I fucked up. Anyways, all right. Let's talk about these fights.
All right. So before we get to last night's fights,
yes,
did we discuss the previous week's fights?
I don't know. Who was it?
Eddie Alvarez and Dustin Poirier.
Didn't even watch it.
All right. So controversy is.
I did.
Eddie Alvarez threw a 12-6 elbow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, based on his history with his last fight with Dustin Poirier, where he threw the illegal knees, I thought that it was fitting that the ref said, no, it's a 12-6, even though it should be legal. But the rule says it's illegal.
Yep.
I was okay with him taking away the position. How do you guys feel about it?
Don't know. Didn't watch it.
Well, that ref had, like, I think he ref two or three other fights, and it was frustrating to see him, and this was just people being on the ground in guard, and they were moving, they were actively, you know, punching, defending, whatever, but he would stand them up, like, 2 seconds into them getting in guard, like, he'd stand them up, and so he did that several times with other matches, and then with this one, they were against the cage, Alvarez basically had mounts, like, they were kind of seated. He had kind of mount and then did that elbow. And I felt like that should have just been a warning. You know, I've seen before where they're like, hey, no punches to the back of the head. No this, no that. So that could have just easily been like, hey, warrant, you know, you can't do that. No 12-6. And then just let the fight go. But they stood him up. Alvarez got rocked and he just went down.
Well, besides the elbow, he wasn't doing any damage anyway.
I don't remember how long they had just gotten.
Seems like there's such a discrepancy between, like, the good refs nowadays and the shit refs.
Well, Mark Goddard, he's a pretty decent ref.
Is that who was refing that fight?
Yeah. He was standing people up a lot, though. Like, it just didn't make any sense to me. As soon as people would get to the ground, he'd stand them up.
You didn't watch that fight?
I think the UFC might be pushing an agenda.
Which is what?
Stand this up and get more excitement going, more banging.
No.
I mean, it's exciting to me to watch these on the
last
ground,
night
but
with.
But you got to remember that those refs don't work for the UFC. They work for the state commission.
That's true.
Last night with JJ Aldrich, she was in guard, and the other girl was like holding her down. And that he's like, you got to work, you got to work. And it was like, what is she supposed to do? The other girl has her completely held down. She's trying to get out of it.
Well, maybe he was talking to the girl that was holding the other girl down.
No, it looked like he was talking to JJ.
Well, if they were close
together.
Because
she was actively. Were, like, the girl on the bottom was, you know, making more obvious moves. But throughout, every time they were on the ground, I think they're getting bored with groundwork is what it looks like.
Yeah. Well, then just turn it into fucking kickboxing then.
Combat jiu-jitsu. I don't know. Shit.
I mean, jiu-jitsu, I mean, it's part of, it's a fight. It's part of an MMA fight.
Yeah, so.
I mean.
I just like 2 seconds, 3 seconds into them getting there. Yeah, let them work
not,
for a
if
minute.
If you're not going to let them be on the ground, then don't call it an MMA fight
anymore. I've seen other issues where people stalled a hell of a lot worse than that.
Oh, yeah.
No, I saw that. I saw that fight too, and I was like,
But, I mean, then, you know, a lot of times, like, if a striker gets taken down, the first thing he's going to do is he's going to try to get fucking underhooks. He's going to lock him in, and he's going to pull him in, and he's just going to stall because he's hoping for the stand-up.
Yeah.
You know? Vice versa, if it's a jits guy and he gets the guy down, he's going to do everything he can to keep the guy down.
Pinch him, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a battle of styles. If you're not looking for a battle of styles, then you're not really looking for fights.
I mean, call it boxing or kickboxing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, call it something different.
Yeah, but that JJ girl, man, she her hair bothered me. I could see too much scalp.
She's a redhead.
Yeah, those braids were tight.
Ginger.
I was like, ugh.
No soul.
Bulbous.
No soul.
The other girl's kind of cute, though. I ain't gonna lie. But I thought she was gonna do better, man. But her hands were really low. She's firing from the hip.
She kept her left down.
Left
the whole
down.
Time.
I'm not surprised. JJ, the other girl, the one with the braids that had all the scalp showing.
She's just got a high forehead, bro.
Yo, she had a big bulbous head.
Well, I wasn't. Bulbous. I mean, that's a little aggressive, but.
Well, I don't think so.
What about poor Cub?
115-pound chicks, dude, huh?
What about poor Cub?
Cub Swanson, yeah, he walked out of the cage, huh?
Renato Moicano.
Renato.
Well, he lost. I mean, what is he going to do? Stay in there?
Staying there for
well,
the
not
hit.
Only
he
that.
He got knocked.
He does. They don't interview the guys that
he got finished. He got finished. Choked.
Yeah, but they for won't, the hand raising thing, usually his both sides here.
I think because he got serious. He got rocked.
Well, he got rocked, but then he got choked.
The straight jab, dude, was just that hammer jab right to the face. Boo, that was a Dunsky's.
Yeah, he got rocked. Then the guy took his back. And that was the one we were talking about this morning, where the guy didn't have the choke under the neck. No,
that was a Burt Crane.
Yeah, that was, you're either going to fucking tap or you're going to be eaten through a straw.
Oh, yeah, dude, it was pretty hellacious.
What was the
fight? I didn't like the whole bowing at the feet and all that.
That was, when you started talking about Master, I started thinking about that.
That's too much.
I was like, dude, come on, you just fucking won your fight. Yeah.
You can bow while you're standing.
Show respect.
He was just showing respect, man. That's a bit much. Well, that guy is kind of like that. He's like a very super, super humble, super, super respectful. Like, that was genuinely him doing that. He wasn't, like, showboating. He wasn't
No. But it went on about five. The whole on his knees, man, by fucking Cub's feet. You gotta realize,
man, that guy, the way he felt about Cub Swanson, was like, this is a legend. This is someone my idol. Idol. Someone I really, really look up to. And, you know, it's a confliction of feelings of, like, hey, I had to beat him for this right here. But I'm so thankful, and I'm thankful for this guy. You know what I mean? Maybe I'm paraphrasing, but that's how I feel about it. Yeah. It is a little bit awkward, probably a little bit much, but you got to think about it, man. When we have these hard rolls or hard training sessions, man, you know, at the end, like when you roll against somebody, you know, you give them a hug, man, you know, like you guys battled it out. And
yeah, but we don't hold it for 30 seconds and then look into each other's eyes.
Well, maybe you don't, but that's
good. Yeah. I mean, that dude was literally about 2 seconds away from fucking kissing Cub's feet.
Yeah. Well, I think he was. No, I think he was like pulling some Thai shit. You know what I mean? He was just.
Well, he's Brazilian, so.
Yeah, whatever.
South American ground karate.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So there was that.
That Johns in. Who else?
What? In the very beginning?
Yeah.
That was a really good fight.
John. Oh, you mean Santos versus Holland?
That was a super fun fight.
No.
That was the first on the Johns. Oh, Johns and. I don't know how to say that.
Munoz?
There you go.
Munoz, that's
what
it was.
Which one is that one?
It was
Johns versus what he said.
Yeah, John Munoz. Versus Munoz. He was smaller guys, but bro, those calf kicks, you know.
Oh yeah, that's the fight. Yeah. Man, that fight.
Those kicks are very popular right now. Yep. Like, you know, back in the day, you used to kick somebody in the sciatica.
That low calf kick. Now.
And basically, you kill the nerve on their fucking legs, and they'd be dragging that.
Well,
leg.
It's not only,
now is the calf.
Yeah. Well, you know why they're doing that, right? Because
it sucks.
Yes, it sucks. But what you're doing is you're smashing your tibia, which is a big shin bone, against the fibula, which is the side of that
small
the leg right there. Break. That small little, it'll break. It's a little strut bone. I mean, it won't stop them from ever fighting again. But man, it'll stop you from fighting right then. So nasty.
Yeah, because those kicks, man, they were making that leg just go, you know what? I'm done. I'm out. I don't want to be here anymore. I'm not going to work for you.
I have a buddy that wrote something. His name's Brandon Waters, and he's like very, very good Muay Thai guy. But he's like, dude, the art of taking the big bones and smashing the little bones with them. And that's whenever I see those kind of techniques, that's what I think. I was like, oh, you're just taking your big bones and smashing the little bones.
Yeah, Brandon, that was a leg destruction for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because you could see the fucking red on the back of the leg. All the fights were pretty good last night, but I surprisingly enjoyed the
Henry Cejudo.
No, the Santos Holland fight.
Yeah, that was a really.
I
good
actually
one.
Enjoyed it. I didn't know if
it was
I was
a lot
going
of fun.
To.
It was back and forth.
Talking
and
about the guy from the Contender Series.
Yeah. He was talking fun. The whole time. He's like, man, why are you hitting me so hard?
That
don't do that.
Yeah, he's like joking with him. Dude, I
enjoyed that fight.
I thought it was fun.
That fight was better than his Contenders fight.
Yeah, I thought it was better than the girls fight for sure.
Of course you did.
Well, you don't like women fights.
That's
anyway.
Not true at all.
That's totally true.
That's pretty true.
Well, I'm surprised you know the name J.J. Aldrich.
Look, we've got 87 episodes saying you don't like
women. No, we got 87 episodes saying you guys saying I don't like it. I have always denied it.
No.
Okay. Whatever.
It's the truth.
Okay.
You're the ones who said, you never once in any episode you ever hear me go, I don't like any of the girl fights. I don't like girl fights. Never heard me say that. It's always been you guys.
Name one of the champion of the girls division.
Right now,
active champion
for which division?
Any active champion.
Nunez versus Cyborg.
Okay, who's the champion?
Yeah,
Cyborg.
They're both champions. They're both. Actually,
good try though. I kind of set you up with a win-win. Luckily.
I'm not wrong.
I'm not wrong.
Oh boy.
No, but, and Henry's foot when he like.
Oh, that was
rolled and rolled.
Yeah, you kept rolling and rolling. It freaked me out. I was like, oh my God, this is over before it's ended. Well, so Henry Cejudo versus what's that guy's name?
Mighty Mouse.
Demetrius Johnson.
Show him some love.
How do you not have respect for him?
I know.
Yeah,
Show him some love.
Lots of respect for that dude.
Didn't look like he left the first round.
After the end of the five, he was
no
just like,
sweat on him, la, la, no la. Heavy breathing.
You can have cardio for days when you weigh 125 pounds.
That's what I said. No, he's a champion.
Then you should have double the cardio, sir.
It's not how it works.
You're bigger, you should have more cardio. Yeah. More is more.
You have more oxygen to hold.
Yeah, that's not how any of this works.
No, that was a really good fight. And to be honest, I was hoping that would be Henry that won it, but I was expecting Demetrius to win it because he's the champion. But when Henry did win, I was like, I can see that because of the takedowns, the amount of control that he
10
had.
10 to nothing.
You know what I mean? And then Ashley to come through that first round after that adversity of his ankle, like he—I don't know if he got kicked. Something happened with his leg.
He said something. No, he got back. Kicked. Well, he said he got kicked, so he felt like when he went to step, he didn't feel it.
Yeah,
he didn't. He couldn't sense where his foot was touching. So
yeah. So he
you know those toes hurt today.
Well, I think it's his ankle that hurts today, for sure.
I don't know, dude. He fucking took that big toe and like rolled that motherfucker up under his foot.
Yeah,
that
shit's pretty horrific.
In the mat.
Ugh. So that was a really fun fight, man. Yeah, I'm telling you. And then Henry Cejudo's wrestling, bro, is on fucking point. You know, it's funny, man, because I remember watching his wrestling drills, you know, and mimicking them myself. I mean, he's just so good, man. I would love to get him over here because that'd be cool.
He was hitting that inside leg trip
every time.
Oh yeah.
It was dope. Oh my God,
so dope.
DC was so stoked for him.
Yeah,
because I guess he knows him since he was a kid or whatever, but he was very happy for him.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a wrestler, both wrestlers, too.
Yeah.
And those are little guys, bro. They're like 125 pounders.
I still love the meme that Miggy sent us with him.
With the champ?
Yeah.
The first time somebody calls you a champ.
Yeah, the first time an adult calls you a champ.
Well, you know what's cool, too, is at the end of that, he goes, hey, listen, I'm looking to take the winner of the 135. Smart, so he's going to either fight – he was either going to fight Cody Garbrandt or fight TJ Dillashaw. TJ Dillashaw ended up winning. He wants to fight TJ Dillashaw at 135.
So you got somebody who was a wrestler.
Yeah.
With amazing striking.
Yeah.
And a Olympic wrestler, because TJ was, I think, Cal Fullerton. I think he was the college that he went to.
But it was D1.
Yeah. And you have a D1 wrestler.
Against an Olympic.
And against an Olympian.
A gold wrestler. Gold medal.
Gold medal Olympian.
Sweetheart.
So.
Yeah, get that shit straight, yo.
Yeah, not bad.
But yeah, and Henry Cejudo, man, I'm a real big fan of his, man. I like him a lot. You know, TJ, you know, got that win over Cody Garbrandt again via knockout.
Quicker.
Because first round, Cody got too aggressive again.
Yeah, yeah, he kind of rocked TJ a little bit, came in real hard, got caught, boom, boom, boom.
And got caught with the same punch.
And then not to mention, though, there was like 12 unanswered strikes in a row to the face.
He looked like he got anxious, like he wanted to finish him right then and there. It's like,
oh, yeah.
Bro, you did such a good job with Dominick Cruz. You hit him, you rocked him, but you didn't just rush in.
Yeah, you didn't, you know.
His composure was definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Shot the shit. And it's the same thing. He come rushing in, took that fucking overhand right, boom, got rocked. And then it was the knee, because when he came off of the came off the cage, took, I think, one and a two, and then he turned, and then as soon as he turned, TJ just grabbed him, tie clinch,
boom,
fucking introduction to the knee, and done. And then Cody's still, like, throwing his hands up. Oh, you start the fight. Hold on, let me stumble backwards real quick.
Did you want to face plant first?
Well,
or?
This is the deal, man. Like, you know, when you're in the heat of that, dude, you just, you know.
I know you want
to
keep
Nobody
fighting.
Wants to lose face either, but like, yeah, you beat me. He's like, no, fuck that, I wasn't done. Course,
you were done, bro.
Of course. And typically the fighters know that. And a lot of times in the rules meeting, you know, the ref will say that too. They're like, hey, listen, man, when you're done, you know, I'm going to call it. And I understand you're going to say no. And that's to say face. And I get it. We'll play that game. That's what the game is. So that's a little inside thing on that, right?
But what's crazy is
– like if I call a fight, though, I mean, you're done. You're going to go do that thing. Or if you want out, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know you want out, you know? I'll pull you out. And then you can say, I didn't want out. Save face.
For the few minutes that fight lasted, it was just a barn burner.
It was.
It only lasted 38 seconds.
Matt, 38 seconds?
What?
You know, TJ? It was a little longer.
I'm sorry, round one, 46 seconds.
It was under a minute. I mean, was it?
I'm looking
it
at
it. It seemed longer,
but it was
but
so
it was,
much action in under a minute.
Well, what's crazy is this really. Well, I guess you. Okay, Cody had 10 total strikes.
Yeah.
Okay. TJ had 34.
Yeah, and 13 of them were in the face unanswered.
Yeah. Like, significant was 22, TJ to 10, Cody. So Cody landed 10 significant strikes. That's it.
Well, still, you know, for the moment, for the brief moment that it lasted, it was a good fight, and Matt loved you, no love, Cody Garbrandt.
He did rock TJ,
and you got to give it to TJ. He's just a killer.
He's just good.
Once he smells that blood in the water, he just goes for the kill. Yeah.
So
and normally he puts you away.
Yeah.
You know, they were talking about you know him changing caps and stuff like that. He's like, listen, man, people change camps all the time, bro. All I did was change camps. You know, call me a snake, so on and so forth. And I was like,
well, listen,
I think it's more like how he did it is what made everybody so pissy about it.
Yeah. Is there a right way to do it, though? I mean, either way, people aren't going to be happy.
When I left a specific camp, you know, they were pretty upset about that. Or what I was doing was cross training at another gym.
Did you see his shirt, though?
Yeah, it's a snake.
It's a snake.
Yeah, because they're calling him snake. Well, it's because Connor called him a snake. It's like, oh, you got a snake in your yard.
It's hard when you have some of the top level guys in the same division. At some point, to be able to say, like, I'm the best, because it is an individual thing.
Yeah.
So at some point, there probably is going to be some moving of camps, and you're going to have to go against each other.
You just get a different look. I mean, you're going to have to get a different look.
I don't understand that why coaches, you know, in jiu-jitsu or MMA would prohibit somebody from going to another school.
Those are bad coaches.
You are a paying client. You don't get to tell me what to do.
Well, not only that, it's not even, you know, I agree with you on that point. But not only that, that's just a bad coach. Because if you're training at a gym, you're training with the same people at that gym all the time. You're going to get, okay, I know, you know, like Bert, he surprised me the other day with the arm bar. Because normally Bert just wants to choke you. That's what Bert wants to do.
He technically did choke your arm.
He choked my arm. But the thing is, you know, if you roll with somebody all the time, you're like, okay, well, I know what his game is, so you know how to play. You got to get a different look, because if not, your game is going to be lacking.
Stagnant.
Yeah. So if you're telling your guys, man, you can't go train at that gym, you know, you're this, don't go nowhere.
Yeah.
You're a bad coach.
It's you not should be telling it's not your guys. You're bad, that you're maybe insecure.
Well, bad.
I think.
To each his own.
Yeah, to each his own.
He's got his opinion. Let him have it.
I mean, I know one coach who tells his guys, hey, go train other places.
Yeah.
Go visit other places and roll.
That's why I love Dean.
You know?
And of course, Art has no issue with me training anywhere else.
Absolutely not. Matter of fact, me and Dean, we talked about that in the very beginning. And he's like, bro, just so you know, when you start a school or whatever, you know, your guys are going to go train some other places or whatever, you know. And don't have hard feelings on the does. If they love you, they'll come back, and you know you'll be their home.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I completely agreed with that. Completely agreed with that. And it's been the truth. And I've crossed my whole career of jiu-jitsu. I've cross trained at different gyms, man. Because I think that also what broadened my spectrum, the way of thinking of how to run the gym, as far as times, how I do the classes, how I structure things.
Not only that. Okay, so you go to a gym. You go to a gym you haven't rolled at. Okay, these guys are like really good at, you know, because each gym's kind of always get known for, you know, this,
a style or
something, you know, and you have your guys go to that gym and they're like, dude, these guys are doing this. They bring fucking information back. Mm-hmm. You learn something new that you can bring back and you can implement into your training. And, you know,
it also gives you a way to measure your skills from where you are.
Yeah, because you know your pecking order in your gym.
So it's kind of interesting that you said that, but if you go, like, we'll use ours as an example because it's very easy. Not one of my guys had a very similar game to each other.
Like, well, you also have a lot of different body styles in our gym, too.
Body types, yeah.
Okay.
You calling me fat, bro?
I'm calling me fat, bro.
Okay. What I'm saying is like, I'm not making little clones of myself. You know what I mean?
No.
It's like...
No, your neon belly, there's not... You know,
I've seen a couple guys do the new embellies.
I use it.
I've seen a couple guys do
it. Well, because we train it a lot. I use it on Miggy, but I'm not. The opportunity was there. I popped up for a second. It was like, oh, this is kind of nice being up here. And then I moved on. So I was like, well, I'm not feeling, you know, it's fun to be up here, but I don't feel real confident. We're going to go ahead and move to something else now.
Yeah, unless I'm in the gi, I'm not doing neon belly.
Well, we were in the gi.
People just lift me up and then set me over and. Doesn't work,
you know,
for me.
We got guys that are really good at takedown that can, you know, We got guys that can stuff your takedowns. We got guys that are really good at just, hey, I've got a good guard. No, you don't. Watch this. You know.
Yeah, Bert.
Yeah, Bert.
So, guys, Connor Khabib got announced.
Yeah, huh? Super excited about that.
We didn't see that coming.
For October 6th.
Vegas.
So what do you guys think about that one?
You know, Dana's staged. Like, thank you so much.
It was what?
Staged.
What was staged?
All of that shit. All of that bus.
We already talked about it.
But I'm just saying, they proved
it. You're like 3,000 and late.
No. I'm just saying they proved it.
Okay. Okay. What do you think about the fight now?
I don't know. It's in a couple months.
He's like, I'll let you know when I see it.
I don't give a shit. I just don't.
Honestly, I think that it's going to probably be the hardest fight for Connor.
No doubt. I mean, this dude is undefeated.
Well, not only just that. I mean, granted, Diaz was a hard fight for Connor, but Diaz was a hard fight, I think, because of one reach and the jiu-jitsu. I think Khabib's going to be a hard fight just because of how strong he is, and his striking.
His striking is meh.
His striking is not Nate Diaz striking.
No,
and
but
he
his
has,
ground game
and he
be.
Has been rocked.
Yeah, by Michael Johnson.
By Michael Johnson, really good. And he's not as good as I don't want to say Michael Johnson is not as good as Connor as far as the striking goes.
Michael Johnson is not as good as Connor. I said it.
So do you think because both fights with Nate, you know. They went to the ground in the first fight. The second fight, Connor avoided the ground at all costs. Do you think he's going to go into this fight the same way?
I think he's going to do the same thing. I think he's going to try to do some precision hitting. And if he starts landing those lefts or starts landing those spinning kicks to the gut, it's going to be an issue for Khabib. Khabib can start taking him down and avoid that situation, which is going to be very, very hard. You know, then it's going to be something else.
So last with Nate Diaz, Connor had started training a lot with Chris Brenner.
Yeah.
The one black belt.
Yeah, Strangler.
Yeah. So he had worked a lot of jiu-jitsu defense because of Nate. So I don't know if he's going to, we were talking about that last night. I don't know if he's going to do that kind of same thing and try to get that defense built up.
He better.
For the ground against him.
I would just talk to DC and be like, yo.
What do I got to do?
I need you in my camp, son. Champ, champ.
Yeah, champ, champ.
Champ, champ.
I need you in my camp. That's what I would do.
Yeah, because if Khabib gets him down.
But the problem is, that's not going to happen. I just realized Khabib is AKA, which is DC's camp.
Oh, God, you're AKA.
So, fuck that. It's not going to happen.
Sorry.
All right, so
you better be leaning on Dylan.
So, Dylan who?
Dylan Dennis.
Dylan Dennis is not a wrestler.
No, but he's got some jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, that's fine. But he needs somebody to help him with his, you know, takedown defense.
Does Khabib do sambo?
I don't know.
I think he does.
He's Russian, so.
Sweetheart.
I
hate to be a
stereotypical. That was a question that was asked last night, and it was just fucking funny because the answer was, well, he's Russian. Of course he does sambo. Sweetheart.
No. Sweetheart came when I said, oh, isn't he? I said he was, I think, a silver medalist in for Henry.
Yeah.
I said, isn't he a silver medalist in wrestling? He goes, no, he's gold, sweetheart.
And that started a whole fucking cascade of, don't call me sweetheart. I hate him when you do that. So then for the rest of the night, we all called her sweetheart. And bless your hearts.
For me, condescending when you say it.
I know, but you got to remember, we don't say that to be condescending.
Fucko.
Yeah. Because guess what? I do the same thing to Amanda sometimes. I don't know what the word is I use, but I know that sometimes.
Like, hey, bitch.
No.
It's when someone says something that's like dumb or like,
yeah,
really, and why'd you say that?
Bless your heart.
And there's something I say, and I don't know what it is, but I could tell when I say that it immediately pisses her off because she feels the same way. Like if I say it, I'm, you know, basically I'm calling her a dumbass.
Yeah.
Don't call me a pretty bitch.
Much. Yeah. So I understand where you're coming from. But the thing is, I'd never do it.
He doesn't mean to, and
he's too sweet.
That way.
He's too sweet and fucking proper.
I've noticed when he says it, it is when I say something that's stupid. Or
you know how to fix that, right?
No.
Stop saying dumb shit.
I don't know how.
Well, she's a redhead, so
let me just be real. Yeah.
Sweetheart.
But it's not just him. It's something that a lot of guys do when they say.
Oh, here we go. The guy hate.
No, I'm not hating. They don't know they're doing it. I just generally don't think
here
they know.
Here comes the hate train.
I'll go on that train later.
Hashtag us too.
Hashtag me too.
Anyway. Hashtag Wallow's next.
Listen, right. So Connor, that's fucking October.
No, the 25th anniversary.
No. That fucking card. October. Yeah.
The card for the one in November with Tyron Woodley and Darren Till.
Yeah, let me go ahead and pull that card one up.
Is stacked.
Dude, Darren Till.
There was three women's fights.
Did you see the stare down between Tyron Woodley and Darren Hill?
Till?
Yeah.
Darren Till? Not Hill.
Oh,
okay,
Till.
Sweetheart.
It's okay.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Cupcake.
Right there, sugar.
So Darren Till had his hands up like this, and Woodley come up to like his elbows. Like he would tower over Tyron Woodley.
Yeah.
He looks so much bigger.
That's not the one fight.
That maybe not in the pants.
Super
but.
Excited for the one part.
Oh my God.
You know how to throw a dick joke in there somewhere.
Vagina, penis.
So.
Are we good now?
No, move on. He's pulling up the card.
No, I'm just kidding. I was talking
about that one. Was
we get all the vaginas and penises out of the way.
Yeah, we're good.
All right, now let's talk about some normal shit.
But now, see, the problem is that's literally the only fight for that card.
What do you mean?
No, it's not. There was a bunch.
What about Cerrone and Perry?
That's not cool. That fight. That's not what? That. That's not that card.
What do you mean it's not?
It's not,
dude. It was.
Sorry. Who's the one with the computer?
Oh, fuck your computer then.
Yeah.
Damn. You and all your facts.
So tell me the card then.
Wasn't Cerrone with...
Yeah, with Perry.
Yeah, Perry.
No, but wasn't that on the Conor McGregor card?
I don't think
so. No, it was for the 25th anniversary in Denver, Colorado.
Okay, because this is in Dallas, Texas. UFC 228 was the one that Woodley's fighting in. But that's literally the only names. I mean...
Okay, so go to the one where it's in Denver.
Okay.
The 25th anniversary one.
I thought that was 2:30.
Pull that bitch up.
The Beatrice.
Put that bitch up. All right.
Where is it? Because it's the 20th.
It's in November.
I thought that was UFC 230.
Yep.
Is it UFC 230?
November 3rd.
Yep.
Okay. In New York.
Okay. All right.
Pull it up. There we go. What do you got?
I'm trying to.
It's not pulling up?
Okay. No. There's... Poirier, Diaz, they've only got five fights on the card right
but
now.
But I thought Diaz pulled out.
I don't know, main for on the UFC website, the main card is to be announced, to be determined.
You know what? Fuck them then. We'll talk about it when they come back.
Yeah, then they've got Romero Costa.
Hey, UFC, get your shit together.
Yeah, fix your website, brah.
Yeah.
Poirier, Diaz.
So Sousa, I heard that Branch. For this fight, there's not going to be USADA testing.
For who?
For those guys.
Why?
They both got exceptions.
Who?
Paulo Costa and Yoel Romero.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
That would be awesome. I would fucking watch it.
He's just talking
they
shit,
both
bro.
On that horse meat?
He's just talking shit. That's
they need to have
true.
That shit on a fucking Indian reservation.
It's his team old body right there. They're both jacked. I'm kidding. I don't know. I was just joking.
That's funny, though. I was looking at you. I was like, skeptical hippo. Right? I was like, I don't believe you.
All right, guys. I think.
Well, I didn't know that the one in Moscow is actually only going to be it's live on Fight Pass, so it's not a pay per view.
Who gives a fuck?
Ain't well, Mark Hunt's on that one.
Oh, okay, cool.
Oh, he's back.
Yeah, he's fighting on that card.
Okay.
But then it's just
who's he fighting? To be determined.
Alexenko, the boa constrictor.
Oh yeah, I remember that. I remember seeing that guy.
Yeah. But there's literally, it's five fights, and it's all Russian fights.
Oh.
The Russians.
Yeah. I mean, it is. Well, except where. He's not Russian. But
where?
Where. W-A-R.
What?
Yeah.
Huh?
Anyways.
All right, guys. We'll cover those when they come around, and we'll try to cover that November card for UFC 25th anniversary, 230, I think it is, once.
Yeah, because they haven't even filled out UFC 229 yet. The only fight they've got on that card is just Khabib and McGregor. They haven't filled out the rest.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So. All right. Before we go, Art, why don't you give a shout out to the sponsors?
It doesn't matter if you're a performance athlete or an average Joe. Lean Impact Nutrition has got what you need to go. You want a six-pack? You want high-performance actions? Get your diet right. LeanImpactNutrition.com. Second one is BlackHiveTattoo.com. If you want the dopest tattoos in Jacksonville, you need to go ahead and reach out to the guys at BlackHiveTattoo.com.
Get on that newsletter.
Jump on that newsletter. And each one of those artists will tell you how you get in with them. A lot of times they're booked out for a good bit, so sign up to the newsletter. They'll reach out to you.
Sherry, anything else you want to add? Any shout-outs? Any sponsors you might want to shout out?
I ain't doing shit for sponsors right now. No, I'm good.
Okay. Oh, Chris L., producer.
Yo.
Anything else you want to add? Any shout-outs?
Any AKAs?
Any AKAs
you know? Just shout out to my wife as always. We got meal prep to do. We've kind of fell off the wagon on our little vacation down to Disney, so we're getting back on the wagon.
Vacation, bro.
I know, but it's
their
still
meals are like $25 a meal down there.
Yeah,
dude, he's got an RV with a kitchen and a cook.
We cooked. We had meatball subs one night, but they're against carbs.
You like them meatballs, huh?
Meatballs. Oh, I love the meatballs. I'm all about those meatballs.
Yeah,
I made meatballs this morning.
Did you? Other than that. Ready to get back into the gym. See you guys Monday, tomorrow.
All right.
Die. Cool.
All right, guys. Well, thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to visit our website, lrtlk.com. I hope I pronounced that right, did I?
I believe you did.
All right, cool.
Lrtlk.com.
Click the Amazon banner. Dad.
That's right, Dad.
Dad.
Get your shop on.
Get your shop on.
Oh, shout out to him, too, because he bought my dad bought the weirdest shit. I drove his work truck the other day when we had to move it between houses, and he had this little pad, this little neoprene pad on his the armrest on your left side. I was like, dude, that thing is fucking awesome. And he's like, yeah. And we didn't say anything else about it. It showed up. One of them showed up in my door this week.
Nice. Thank you, Dad.
Yeah, so I'm like, what the hell did Dad send me? And I opened up like, oh, shit, this is cool. So that gets mounted in the truck.
Thank you, Dad.
Thank you, Daddy.
All right, again, lrtlk.com, where you can get all our previous episodes. And, of course, we're on iTunes, Google Play, Podbean, and a bunch of other, you know, podcast platforms. And thank you very much for listening, and we'll catch you next week. Hopefully, I sound way better now.
Mm-hmm.
A lot sexier, too.
Too sweet.
All right, guys, we'll catch you next week. Peace.